It's been a while, and we got to rip the Band-Aid off. We got a lot to talk about here. Yes, you've been feeling a lot of pain on the roadways. This is Doug Fireball Turnbull here, the WSB Traffic Podcast.
Smiling Mark McKay alongside.
Smiling gets to ride in the Skycopter every morning. I get to survey the damage left behind every afternoon. No, on the roads, that is, not in the Skycopter. And we want to set the table for you for what George is experiencing, because we had a really unique chance to get to sit down with DOT Commissioner, former state head traffic engineer Russell McMurray, and he laid out some big plans for us. I want you to think about this. Georgia's population is growing at faster than the normal population rate.
The Georgia coast is active. We have a new port coming online. Once they offload those big container ships, they come right through Metro Atlanta up 75 and I-85.
You got all that extra pressure out in the suburbs. And then you get downtown where you see high rises going up left and right, more residences and businesses in an already concentrated area.
A lot of work and play type places that are being built, not only in downtown, midtown Atlanta, but all over. But a lot of folks need to get on the road, get to their job. The economy, certainly depending on the indexes, seems to be picking up. That means more cars are on the road. That means traffic is picking up as well.
So things are getting better for people that are already here. More people are coming here. Our roads are already maxed out. Atlanta has, by some measurements, the ninth worst commute in the United States. And we just don't feel like enough's being done. Well, what Smile Mark McKay and I want to share with you all today are some, in my opinion, in our opinion, revolutionary plans for Atlanta traffic that don't involve anything super out of the box, but they're probably not on your radar. And this is based on a meeting that we had within the last month, not only with DOT head Russell McMurray, but his deputy or one of his deputies, spokesperson Natalie Dale, and the head of the State Road and Toll Authority, Chris Tomlinson. You've heard in the news a lot lately with the recalibration of those Peach Pass lanes. So, Smile Mark, we know first off about the projects that we already see dirt broken on, about some of the pillars that have been put up on. What's underway right now, just to kind of refresh people's memory who still don't listen to the news, apparently?
Well, down south, we're looking for the opening, and I think you and I both looking perhaps to put a hard hat on and actually walk those express lanes, see how it's all going to be. We're going to push them on that, by the way, is to go down into Henry County and examine the project, the I-75 express lane and project that's being built and getting ready to launch here in January of 2017. That's numero uno. Go on the other side of I-75, that ongoing construction project, the express lanes that head north from I-75 near SunTrust Park take you deep into Cobb County, into Cherokee County along 575. We also, if you've ever ridden up 316 and north or southbound, north of 85 northbound, north of 316, the I-85 project that goes into northern Gwinnett and works its way outbound toward Chateau-Alon, that continues as well.
So we have reversible toll lanes going up on I-75 of both sides of town. The Henry County ones will be finished first in about January or so of next year. That's why you're already hearing commercials on WSB about buy your Peach Pass, get your Peach Pass ready, because that's going to be a thing real soon. The ones in Cobb County, it's really more like another year later, right? So into 2018 when you go up 75 and 575 into Cherokee. And then the northern Gwinnett lanes, those, they don't have to do as much work for it, because those are going to be similar to the Peach Pass lanes you have now, except they're building new asphalt for those, and those go online in the middle of 2018. So we've got all those underway, and that's great ways, first off, for the state, yes, to raise revenue, but also to manage lanes. The whole goal of those lanes is to try to have a lane of the interstate that during peak travel times is still running at an average of 45 miles an hour. We know, I can already hear you. I can hear the hair coming out of your follicles right now. We know that it doesn't always do that, but that's the goal, and that's why the prices change on those. But there are some new projects that haven't been mentioned. They've been speculated about. They've even been announced in a press conference, but we haven't harped on them and beat the drum on them yet. And now we've got details on those. So there is a 10-year, and I'm going to give you the actual name. We're looking at the actual PowerPoint presentation that Commissioner McMurray presented to different state officials there to get this approved. And it's going to happen, but it's the Major Mobility Investments Plan. And within the next 10 years, Smile Mark, we're going to see some extra lanes added on a few interstates. So I want to start talking about 285 there. You're looking at the map right now. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we had to consume there, but let's start talking about what they're going to add to the perimeter.
Well, Did they take your hint from the traffic show? Because I think you threw out, won't be long before we see express lanes on I-285. And then we get behind closed doors to the commissioner. What are they going to do? Add express lanes to 285 north of I-20. Both on the inner and the outer loop, the east and the west walls, we will see express lanes that'll go in that, if I remember correctly, Doug, from the presentation, will be extra lanes. Those will be extra lanes that are going to be built on the east and the west side of I-285.
That's correct. So on the north side perimeter, the plan, and I just am having trouble picturing this. That's why I'm not an engineer. I'm a moderate arts major. I don't want to tick off any politically charged people this election season. They're supposed to add two managed lanes. That, and by managed, they mean they're going to have a toll on them to manage the flow in them in each direction.
Yes.
And not attached to the current set of five or six lanes that are there. Two lanes that are going to be to the right of you, if you point your car the right window, to the right of you, that are detached from the interstate, that are going to hit with certain interchanges at certain times in each direction. There will be four new lanes added to 285, essentially from I-75 and Cobb, over to I-85 and DeKalb, and then some additional lanes also anywhere north of I-20 along the east and the west walls, as they call them.
And I think that's the way a lot of commuters would like it. Don't take away a lane. If that's the way that you've looked at the I-85 hot lane project, taking away a lane, having to pay for it, we've heard the arguments there.
Of course.
This is adding lanes, of course, the north side perimeter, which I believe will be slightly elevated or elevated above the current lanes that'll go east and west between I-75 and I-85 Spaghetti Junction.
It won't be a true double-decker, but they'll be separate. And the idea is that if you're committed to those lanes, you're not going to be affected by the other traffic on 285. You won't have the weaving in and out like we have problems with the Peach Pass lanes now. And that's the same idea they're going to have, that are, the lanes already being built with the reversible lanes at 75 and Cobb Cherokee and then in Henry counties, is these lanes are going to be separate. They're not just going to be, oh, jump in them for a little while and jump out, because that creates more traffic. So that to me was like the biggest take was, oh my gosh, there could be four extra lanes on 285, but they also have plans in Spaghetti Junction to make an HOT-only exit on 85 South to get onto I-285, because what do we see each morning in Spaghetti Junction?
The big backup, 85 South ramping onto 285 westbound.
So I paid $13.95. Well, no, I didn't. This is a hypothetical, okay? But it costs $13.95 maximum trip to go Old Peachtree to Shalaford if you're taking the full trip 85 South. Most people don't do that. They probably drop $8 to $10 to go Pleasant Hill to 285. But here's the deal. You get down to Pleasant Dale, you're cruising the hot lane. Maybe you got a good morning where it stayed 45 the whole time, and then you've got to get all the way to the right to exit onto 285 West and wait in that line. You've almost nullified the cost.
Right.
And it creates more traffic. So they're going to try to hook up to Spaghetti Junction. Also, Smiling, they're trying to create a separate collector-distributor ramp that's going to go. And a CD ramp, for those that don't know, because it's even confusing to us, is a ramp that just connects different exits without touching the other interstate lanes. It's kind of similar to the concept of having managed lanes, in fact. But they're going to have separate CD ramps that go between Peachtree Industrial and I-85 at Spaghetti Junction in both directions, the idea being to stop that bottleneck when you're trying to get off the perimeter on 85.
I think the best example that we see in the metro Atlanta area, in my opinion, is the I-85 316 interchange of those collector-distributor ramps that run north and south, getting onto and coming from Highway 120, Duluth Highway 316, Pleasant Hill Road. All that, picture that. Pictured more of those in the metro Atlanta area.
Right. And that same concept is already what, and the ground is about to be broken on this, but the 400-285 interchange. They're trying to dedicate certain lanes to go to the exits and certain lanes to be express lanes. And so we're going to hear all these things we've just mentioned about the Spaghetti Junction interchange, I-85, 285, and the north side perimeter are all additional lanes. They're not taking away your old beatered, battered, regular free lanes that you're used to driving. So I just want to let that sink in for a second. Potential, and I mean, this is going to happen in the next 10 years. I don't know when, but it will. Four extra lanes on I-285. Like, do you hear the birds singing?
Well, I wanted to point that out, Doug. I wanted to point that out because we expressly asked Commissioner McMurray, these aren't proposed. These are earmarked, green light, in the next 10 years, this will happen.
Yes.
So prepare for it, for better or for worse. Obviously, it'll be made to help better the traffic flow on I-285, all these projects that are going in, but the one we're specifically talking about now, adding express lanes. And the one thing that Chris Tomlinson pointed out, express buses will be a big component of this as well, as we, again, try to push more and more public transit use in an area and in a metro area that's pretty much gridlocked many mornings and afternoons.
Oh, absolutely. So the idea with having managed lanes is not just to raise money. In fact, they really wanted me to shy away from saying that's the reason that they're there, is to raise money. I still think that they need to raise money because we have a lot of infrastructure to support, and the more infrastructure you build, you need more money, bottom line. But we'll get away from that for a second. Not only, Smila, do we have the idea of being able to have more buses, better buses on schedule that can run faster because there are more managed lanes for them to in which to travel, there's also this thing out there that could affect our jobs one day, frankly, autonomous cars.
Boy, oh boy. I want to believe in them. I really do. Skeptical. I'm a skeptic.
Skeptical of the autonomous cars.
Yeah, the concept. I shouldn't, you know, I'm not going to push back against technology. They're smarter than we are.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, it's just a concept, again, which is a wonderful thing to think. You know, back in the day of the Jetsons, we're all going to have those personal little aircraft going around. Well, that never really came to pass. Now we're getting close. I mean, I think there's probably a lot of work to do. There's a lot of work to do. Well, good and bad. And then the lithium battery, that whole problem with those, right?
Yeah. What I like to do is get my Galaxy S7 on my hoverboard and take them both on an airplane.
That's why you're called Fireball.
Yes, there we go. Yes.
So, yeah, I don't know. Millennial, what do you think?
Yeah, so I'm still very skeptical of them as well. I'll leave it. I have all the same reservations you do. I also like the idea of having a job. And if everybody's in autonomous cars and they're all just having directions programmed into them, which I think theoretically, you know, that's going to make it really hard for people to try to trust live traffic reporters. Not that I don't think you should, because there is a value to that over robots, but that it takes the human decision element out of it. And, of course, human judgment. Do I brake for this? Do I steer out of the way? Frankly, with all the craziness we've seen on the roads, I almost would rather have robots driving 50% of the cars out there. But I just want to say, having these managed lanes in a more controlled environment is the idea. So it could be a better access for buses. And they said this. They didn't it's not like I asked them, well, what about autonomous cars? They have autonomous cars in the back of their mind and part of their planning, because this is only 10 years down the road, right? 2026, I believe that is. In 2006, we weren't talking about smartphones, really.
Right.
Well, I mean, they were just coming in through. So, and right. In 2006, we didn't know what Twitter was,
right.
And we barely knew what Facebook was. So we have no idea how slow or quick the technological world, and I'm actually very happy that they actually have that in their mind. If there are no autonomous cars in separated lanes, fine with me. But I'm glad they're considering it.
And if you listen to the CEO of Lyft, which, of course, Lyft and Uber revolutionizing with our smartphones in hand the way you get around town. I saw a profile on him. And the CEO of Lyft is a believer in the next 5 years we could see this. So there are people who have visions and they're closer to this than I, but boy, I don't know. I'm gonna be watching that. By the way, if you want to examine the projects that are coming up, the commissioner wants you and all of us to actually go on to garoads.org. That's all out there. You literally can see the projects that are in place and the ones that'll be coming down the road.
It's not secretive. All right.
Right.
This is not something that's been shrouded under cover. It's just, it's easy to get distracted by the projects on hand when they have some really revolutionary and frankly well thought out plans in the future, and they all have their faults, okay? I can tell you right now, if I went to who I discussed the entire world's problems with, my father-in-law, Joseph Williams, who is a brilliant guy, and said, hey, they're thinking about doing this, 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 he'd say, why do we keep building pavement? I just don't understand. Why don't we take all of this and put it into buses and da-da-da-da-da? And that's a great point. But the you've also got to manage your future based upon what trends are, at least partially now.
Which project impresses you the most?
Well, so far it's 285, but I can't go without the 285 added lanes. But I can't go without mentioning that I-85, probably since 1970 or something, I have no idea, I'm just pulling that number out, has been two lanes in each direction between wherever, let's just call it Buford and South Carolina.
Right.
Okay. Their plan is in the next 10 years to have at least one lane added in each direction on I-85, at least between Hamilton Mill and Jefferson. All right, so you have the reversible lanes that are going to go up to Hamilton Mill, and then you'll just have a general purpose lane in both directions. You also have, these are proposed, these haven't been decided on, but the truck only lanes that they're looking at between Macon and McDonough on I-75. So once the reversible toll lanes in the, I think it's the McDonough area, Highway 155, they're going to have no tolls or anything, but trucks only are allowed to use truck only lanes. And as we've both flown over, when there's a traffic red alert at 5 in the morning on I-75 somewhere on the south side or late at night somewhere, it's almost all trucks. So imagine if you took 60% of the traffic that frankly either causes or is a part of a lot of the major crashes on the south side or in the outlying areas, exurbs.
Right.
If you put them in separate lanes, that's not a bad idea.
And it's not. This is not only a Georgia-type project. We understood from the DOT commissioner that truck-only lanes is a nationwide trend now. And, boy, we certainly see it when we fly over and you drive next to these big rigs, especially late night, early morning, an incredible amount of truck traffic. The one image that I had was the Friday morning that everybody was stuck on I-85 coming out of Braselton because of a breakdown by one of the striping vehicles in the left lane that lingered late and late, and the DOT commissioner.
That feels like it was just like three days ago.
And it seems like it was, and for a lot of folks, they probably felt like they were in that for 3 days during morning rush. The amount of trucks that were stuck in those two lanes, which became one southbound at Hamilton Mill because of that issue that was going on in that left lane, which the DOT apologized for, by the way, and fined the contractor for not getting that piece of equipment out of the way and opening it up.
Yeah.
Incredible amount of truck traffic that was coming down because those delays started at about 5 o'clock in the morning.
And so it's incredible to think some of the ways they're thinking ahead here, things that we haven't thought of. I'm sure there are some states that are going, wow, y'all really hadn't thought of that yet. But we live in our bubble here, and it's great to see some of these changes come to our bubble. A couple of the other just changes, things worth mentioning. So I mentioned the proposed truck-only lanes. I don't think that's been finalized yet, but they're also doing an extensive study on the downtown connector. I got a call in the traffic center doing one of my midday shifts last week. Guy calls up, and God bless him, but he really had no concept of, wow, it's really busy. This guy, Doug, probably doesn't have time to do any commentary on traffic right now. He called in to just rant about downtown traffic. And he opens up the message with, hey, doesn't the DOT in that big building over there on North Avenue, can't they open the curtain sometime and see the downtown connector? And I said, actually, I was in that meeting room, and they are very aware of it. And I told him,
you can see I-85 from the connector from the conference room.
And that's a really easy populist thing to do, right, is to just go, well, don't those idiots know what's going on? Of course they know, but they cannot flip the switch and just make the traffic move better. And so they have a big study going on the downtown connector. They already are getting numbers back from it. One of the numbers that they had is that in one particular stretch of the connector in Midtown, which I think we'd all argue is the busiest part of it, that's where the most stuff is, 10th, 14th, North Avenue, that area, 430,000 vehicles per day.
Wow.
And that doesn't include what it does to the arterial surface streets. It is bedlam down there sometimes, and everybody knows it. I really feel like last week flying over it, some days for no reason. It wasn't because of the Braves. They didn't have sellouts Monday, Tuesday, or whenever, Wednesday last week. The last week was especially bad heading southbound downtown in the afternoon.
And what we found out, too, which I thought was telling, Doug, was the fact that the downtown connector isn't just moving traffic on two major interstates through the heart of our city. The downtown connector is a destination for folks who here live in the area. I mean, we talked about how we have two different concepts here. Literally, folks, you're listening to two different points of view.
Yeah, we're traffic experts, if you will, or traffic. We are knowledgeable about traffic. We approach downtown different ways.
Very different ways, yep. I will avoid the downtown connector as much as possible and take, if I'm leaving my residence in Buckhead trying to get into Midtown or further on into downtown, I won't even get on the connector. And that's not most times. I mean, if I'm going to the airport and it's clear in the morning, I will. But I will definitely just avoid the connector and work my way through the surface streets utilizing the Buford Spring Connector 13 and then working my way through Midtown on surface streets. You have a different way of looking at it, Doug.
Right. To me, that interstates in general that are just in rush hour mode are fairly predictable. And the surface streets are not, even though they can sometimes save you time. And so sometimes one thing that I criticize people about using Waze for, besides me being defensive and wanting to be important and keep my job, is, I mean, hey, I'm being real, okay, is that sometimes, and I'm not saying that because you found a way that works and other people have, sometimes people just blindly go and take surface streets. Oh, that must save me 2 minutes. And you take 17 turns, and then you don't know what if a crash happens after you've committed to it. And downtown, it takes a lot for a crash in the middle of rush hour to occur during rush hour and then block multiple lanes and then add big-time delays to your ride. It just does. If the traffic is already moving the speed of smell, they're not going to hit each other hard. They're probably going to hit each other and get off to the side. And so I look at it as if traffic is just flowing downtown, even if it's moving 5 miles an hour, it's not that long a distance. I'll just deal with it. I have no idea what Peachtree or Spring is going to do.
That's a good point. I'll take you up on that sometime and have maybe more patience to deal with the slow flow. But in the meantime, speaking of patience, everyone has to really be patient with the crews that are paving downtown. I one night got caught in the I-20 interchange as they were setting up the multiple lane closures heading northbound on that paving project that begins right on time at 9 at night and wraps up right on time at 5 in the morning when they start to open those lanes up. They've got multiple lanes blocked overnight in the dark. It is a mess trying to go from I-20 east and west connected northbound when they start shutting down those lanes. And, of course, then we see those delays through the night as that paving project will – and the weekends, of course, as the paving continues on the connector.
I really have been very grateful to the DOT for the access they've given us, for the relationships they've opened. But I do want to say I think it's a little tone deaf during the Braves last week at Turner Field that they had four left lanes when I was driving through
that.
In each direction in Midtown because – I left the Braves game knowing, there's probably going to be some paving.
And, oh, by the way, Georgia Tech played on Saturday. I was at Grant Field, Bobby Dodd Stadium.
Oh, no kidding.
But I again, went surface streets, and I looked over, crossing over the Varsity, you saw the end of the paving project at North Avenue. But I could think of was traffic coming from the south side, even trying to get up to Bobby Dodd Stadium on Saturday.
I thought they were going to wrap at 9 a.m.
on Saturday?
Yeah.
There were some leftover delays that morning. I remember looking. It didn't affect my ride. I was going there.
Okay.
But I did think about that paving project and all the ramifications of what was going on in Atlanta.
Exactly. So you had the Braves at night, and then people leaving it immediately because the project starts at 9 p.m. usually. People leaving Turner Field, instant bottleneck, and I got caught in it last Wednesday. I left the game using my downtown method. Here I am countering myself. And so the last two Braves games I went to, the first one I didn't take the downtown connector home, because the MLK ramp to the connector was blocked. I said, okay, I ended up winding all the way to take a Piedmont to finally get to 85. That ramp was open when I left the Braves game, my final Braves game. I said, it'll be slow. It might be a couple lanes blocked. It was four lanes, and I was going, come on, man. Can we just have Turner Field go out on top here, guys?
Let's do it. Let's do an RIP of Turner Field and looking back at the traffic implications and then the rebirth.
That'll be a great detour.
SunTrust Park. I think for you and I, we're going to be very interested to see how Georgia State turns that into a football venue as we get to fly. We're lucky enough, and we'll put that on social media.
A lot less traffic.
Again, we're not going to get into a big, long discussion because we did last time about SunTrust Park and what we believe are the encouraging signs that will emerge for the parking at SunTrust Park, which we hope. But Turner Field, 20 years later, and I guess the best way to get in that out of that place was always I-20 east or west or coming up from the south side.
Yeah, no kidding. It's certainly if you weren't like me living all in the northeastern suburbs my whole life or even when I lived in Buckhead for a piece. Everybody's going north and all the parking, you come from the north and park and then everybody goes out roughly the same way. The only time I ever felt like I wasn't caught in bad traffic is when I parked in Jay Black's special parking spot, which is at the IBEW building near Turner Field. Okay, that was it. But you have to walk like a mile, so
He's not as big time as I thought he was, Doug.
Oh, well, you know, that's
a long way away.
Listen, he didn't have the media parking then, you know, but so now he's a sports director, so he could probably park behind the batter's box or something. So, but I just want to say, Turner Field to me, I still have the feeling that traffic is more here I am, predictable traffic, but it's more predictable. I just feel like is all the traffic plan is great at SunTrust Park, 360-degree parking. Multiple exits to get into the stadium with. You're just messing with 285, man. And everybody's so ticked off about it. I have a feeling there's going to be people like standing around with Uzis or something so mad. You know, I'm kidding.
I brace every time that I put a picture or a video of SunTrust Park on social media via Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and the comments that come after that.
Yeah.
And it'll continue for the next, 6 months?
It will. The thing is, people, things change all the time, and we're all going to get used to it. And I'm really sad to see Turner Field go, because now I'm going to have to figure out something different to blame the bad downtown traffic on. What am I going to do now?
It was an easy out.
Well, there's a Braves game. Yeah, only 12,000 people are going. But there's a Braves game tonight. You know, I could talk about the Braves. Now we're going to have to...
Well, you'll shift your focus to a very interested Northwest commuters, all those heading into and out of Cherokee County and Cobb County trying to fight Braves traffic.
Exactly. And I want to mention, too, by the way, people that live kind of north and east of the new SunTrust Park, that's going to be the hardest way, I think, to get there. A lot of people have told me, I could deal with it kind of going to Turner Field. I'm just not going to be able to deal with it. People of 400 have this to look forward to in the next 10 years. There will be managed lanes on Georgia 400 north and south. They're going to make a new interchange at McGinnis Ferry Road, which is right at the Forsyth-Fulton County line between Windward and McFarland. They're going to have managed lanes there as well. They haven't said if they're going to be reversible or just lanes in each direction. I think the idea is more lanes in each direction, but I just wanted to add that to the list since we hadn't mentioned it in the next 10-year project. So there'll be a little more room to move trying to get out of Sandy Springs or Alpharetta and try to head, to SunTrust Park. And these are some numbers, too, they threw at us as well. Over the next 10 years, they plan on adding 331 new lanes in general to Georgia freeways. There's going to be a 5% reduction in delay for auto and truck vehicle traffic statewide. Now, that doesn't sound like much, but we're thinking 10 years ahead from now how bad traffic could be, and they're saying a 5% reduction from the delays we have now, which is not a ton, but still, that's a good adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still a whole bunch of other numbers we could throw, but I just want to say they think that $14.2 billion in investment will be put into the state's economy, possibly because of these improvements. So, hey, we're not public relations shills for the DOT. We're not. Just wanted to share those numbers with you to make sure you had those.
And if you'd like to examine the projects on your own, get online. DOT has full disclosure, and they'll explain it all to you at GeorgiaGAroads.org, GAroads.org.
I'm so glad you said that, because I wanted some kind of electronic picture of this to maybe attach to a traffic blog. I'm going to try to throw up a real quick blog just sort of outlining these things on my traffic blog, WSRadio.com, traffic page. Yeah, if I ever freaking get to type one, okay, because it's so busy around here. We've been hustling a lot lately. I just wanted to throw out a couple of quick things, too, just some observations on the road and smiling. You extemporaneously come up with some that you've seen. We didn't really talk about these beforehand. We did a lot of prep work beforehand for the rest of this, so tons, man, hours.
Big
so,
time.
Yes. I wanted to say that this new area, so they have just begun working on these Peach Pass lanes, the toll lanes on I-85 that are in the median. They're going to be in the median between 985, roughly, and Hamilton Mill. They've just started working on them. They've just cleared the trees out. They've started pulling dirt. And I already see tendencies in these lanes that are very similar to what we're seeing with I-75 in Henry County, which is also another road that's two lanes in both directions. The lanes are narrowed down there, lane shifts, lanes being built in the median, and it is so dicey. We've already seen, and we don't keep track of these, we don't have a big bank of numbers, but I've already seen multiple tractor trailers that have flipped over up there, multiple cars that have flipped over, multiple crashes because there's just a new distraction. That whole bank of trees is gone in the middle of the freeway. The sun is hitting people in the eyes in the afternoons as the days are getting shorter. Sun's setting earlier during rush hour, and it is dangerous. So I want to just throw this yellow flag out there, NASCAR. I want to throw this yellow flag out there and just say, folks, I want you to treat, even though you don't see much happening just yet, maybe in your eyes, please treat with extra care I-85 between 985 and Hamilton Mill, because we've seen it go gangbusters in Henry County, and I'm starting to see it now in Gwinnett.
And in closing, if we are closing, my thoughts and observations continue on 85, but above that, and we touched on it briefly about the major mess left over by what we thought was ongoing construction on 85 southbound one Friday morning that lingered well into rush hour. I do want to say and thank the DOT for being on top of it. They were in constant communication with us. And we're not just talking constant communication from a spokesperson or anyone else, the actual DOT commissioner.
Although Natalie's great. She always communicates directly. But
very much so. Yeah. This came right from the top, because Commissioner McMurray says he does listen to WSB and Triple Team Traffic. He's out there with you all out there. He calls commuters customers, and we need to do good customer service. And they really get high marks for the information that they provided as soon as we knew that was a problem. he got on and apologized. And we turned that right around and put it out to the public. So DOT was not tone deaf for all of those folks who were heading 85 south that morning, stuck in that huge jam out of Barrow into northern Gwinnett County.
And things happen. I don't think that was a numbskull construction crew that just didn't know what 5 a.m. meant. There was a legit problem. Say it again. What was the problem?
One of the road stripers broke down. It had it in the left lane for a while. When we got over it, mechanics were working in that left lane, but they had to protect them. And one of the pieces of equipment broke down in one of the travel lanes. They couldn't get it out of the way in time to finish the project at 5. They pushed it back to 6, and by 7:15, 7:30, it was open. But it made for a lot of fun. There are no good alternates up there. What's the big high school that runs along 85?
Mill Creek,
I believe. I could think about was that's a huge high school on 120 off of 124. That was a big jam. There were people going to be late just getting to school that morning.
Exactly. And we have that construction zone up on 985 in the Spout Springs area as well. So if you're coming 85 out of the far northeastern suburbs or out of northeast Georgia, South Carolina, and you hang a right on Highway 53 and go all the way over to 985, depending on the time of day, oh, I'm going to avoid those 85 construction delays, because they're doing them during the day now, by the way, if you haven't seen. I'm going to go take 985. You pick up 985 at Mundy Mill, Highway 53, and go south. Buzzsaw, because you have right now, they're doing some serious pavement rehabilitation around Spout Springs, exit 12. So
the bottom line here, and you can back this up, Doug, is to have those of you on the road constantly check in with us at News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. It's not just morning and afternoon, which is, you know, bad mode anyway, but these things pop up, and you're in there more than I in terms of the full midday hour, and you see these big jams popping up all over the metro.
Look, every Friday now almost is like what holiday Fridays used to be. There are just so many people going to and fro, especially in good weather. I'm not talking about rain. I'm talking about sunshine. I worked this Friday. Downtown never recovered from morning drive.
Wow.
It just kind of changed directions. There was never a part where I was like, oh, yeah, downtown's good. I won't talk about it this report. So we're seeing rush hour conditions of the afternoon happening earlier. We're seeing AM drive last later. We're seeing overnights, weekends. And we're having the works right now ways to make our WSB traffic coverage better in those times. All right. And I can't wait to roll those out really soon. It is important 24 hours a day. You don't have to keep it on WSB 24/7. We'd love it if you did, but check in with us. We, at the very least, have traffic in the newscast at the top of the bottom of the hour, in the middle of the day, four times an hour. WSB Radio app, you can press the button, listen to our most recent report, which only time that'll fail you is during Bulldogs coverage when we don't have a recent report. But you can follow us on,
too, yeah.
Yeah, follow us on social media a lot of the time, at WSB Radio on Twitter and on the other social media accounts we have, and you can get the updates.
So you have the information in hand, and we appreciate you spending time with us on our podcast.
Hey, we'll say that. And one more thing before we head out the dough is we need to mark it down, December the 10th.
Oh, yes.
Remembering Captain Herb, Toys for Tots broadcast. I don't know what time the broadcast is going to be.
But we know it's an all-day event.
It's an all-day event.
At Fred's Barbecue House, Lithia Springs, Thornton Road, north of I-20. It's never too early to think about the holiday season, never too early to think about doing good. The second Saturday of December, December 10th, it is our annual Toys for Tots drive at Fred's Barbecue House. Toys for Tots.
Yes, absolutely. So we're going to have a link up soon on our traffic page, wsradio.com, to go ahead and donate. But we're looking for toys. We're looking for monetary donations, in fact, because kids of older ages oftentimes don't have toys donated to them. So that's a great way to come out. You come out and meet most of the traffic team. We're going to have a bunch of fun stuff for kids out there, some racing stuff. We've got some good stuff and raffles to give away. And, of course, the great food from our boys.
Oh, at
Fred
Fred's
and Todd
Bar.
Harris. Oh,
got a lot going on out there and a lot of things in the works. Make it even more of a family affair. I've always talked about the Toys for Tots drive. Went alongside Captain Herb and subsequently as a family reunion. It really is.
We see a lot
of folks every year at the same time, and we're happy you're come out for it.
Just like we do at the round Memorial Day Captain Herb Memorial ride that we do as well. So I think in a way for us to get more millennials to come out, we're already talking about it on a podcast. That's really
there
hip. Okay. We need to start calling this a festival.
Okay.
Don't you think? I mean, it is a festival, right? I mean, you go in, you get barbecue, there's a motorcycle ride, you got all sorts of attractions. They have a Civil War cannon outside. You can pay $10 to get that shot off. The WSB Skycopter's going to be there. It's a freaking festival,
there
guys. I can say freaking on a podcast.
It qualifies a holiday festival.
A holiday festival. There you go. See, smiling is like so politically correct. It's great. It's a great yin and yang here. Trust me. Okay. So anyway, thanks for listening to us. We'll have some more about these projects up on garoads.org. It's already there. And of course, on my traffic blog, wsuradio.com. I'm Doug Turnbull.
Smiling Mark McKay.
We're out. Peace.
See ya.